Are you ready for the Word of God this morning?
Yes.
Even the part that's hard and you might not like it too much. No, I like it all. I actually get to preach about one of my favorite subjects today. Anybody know what that might be?
Yes.
Money.
Oh, yeah. We actually have fun doing that here. Some of you may not realize that. But today's message is the truth about giving. Now, you sure you're ready for the Word of God this morning?
Yeah.
Boy, it got quiet that time. Okay, a week from next Sunday, 2 weeks from today, Lord willing, we are going to observe something that here at Lighthouse, we call it Heart of Purpose Sunday. We do this every year, long about November, December. We choose a Sunday, and on that day, we obey together as one body, as the church, the command that is given to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse number 7. Let me read that to you. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, this is not about a special offering. This is not about raising money. This is not about pledging a certain amount to give. This is about obedience to God in one specific area that is super important to every one of us that have to pay bills and eat. Do you qualify? Do you have to pay bills and eat? Well, this is going to be very important to you. We all know God commands believers to tithe and to give. I don't think there's probably anybody that's been in Lighthouse more than one Sunday, maybe. But what knows that, it's very clear in the Scriptures. Y'all on the same page, so I don't have to go preach that part today, right? What many seem to overlook is that God also commands us to purpose in our hearts, and that means to choose what we will give. He tells us to make a choice, to purpose in our heart what we're going to do. Not only has our church prospered financially for all the years that we've been obeying God in this, and I was teaching this in the church before I was the pastor more than 20 years ago. Some of the things that God has done in the lives of individual members have been absolutely astonishing because of what we've done in this area of obedience. For many years now, we as a church have chosen to make this choice together every year as one body in Christ. And that, Lord willing, is going to happen 2 weeks from today. Now, I could not stand here long enough to give you anything close to all the Bible has to say about finances and about giving. I want to give you a quote from a very reliable biblical researcher, and here's what he came up with. He says that the Bible offers 500 verses on prayer, fewer than 500 verses on faith, and more than 2,000 verses on money. In fact, 15% of everything Jesus ever taught was on the topic of money and possessions, more than his teachings on heaven and hell combined. Based on those kinds of numbers, there's obviously a lot of things that we all still need to learn about biblical finances. Giving is just one of those things, just one, but it is a big one. To illustrate this, I want to read the verses on either side of that command in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. So here's verse 6. Verse 6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Now, that's a big financial principle. Agreed? Pretty big principle. Now, let's read the one after it. 2 Corinthians 9:8. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Just imagine, always enough and to spare in every area of need in your life so that you are able, you can abound to every good work. I think that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big promise. God has kept that promise to me, and He's kept that promise to our church for all these years without wavering, not even once, regardless of the economy. And the economy has been up and down and everything in between in the last 20 years. I know that you believe the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
This is a Bible-believing church. This is a Bible-preaching church. I doubt you would even be here if you did not believe the Bible. God wants to bless you richly. But as you can clearly see in this verse, it's not just so that you can have it. That's not the purpose. The reason is so that you can abound richly to every good work. He's got works for us to do. He's got things for us to accomplish. And part of what it takes to do that is financial part. This verse does not say, and God will make all grace abound toward you. That's not what it says, is it? You following? This verse says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. It doesn't say that He will. It says that He's able to. This phrase, all grace abound, this is a Greek phrase, parousio pas charis. Three Greek terms. Parousio is to superabound in quality or quantity, to be in excess. I like that part down there in the middle of the definition where it says enough and to spare, more than enough. Pas means all forms of declension. It means every area, nothing left out, it's all included. And charis is graciousness. It's talking about the divine hand of God in your finances. Wouldn't you like to have the divine hand of God operating in your finances? Favor. How many of you Bible believers really do believe, you really do believe that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, like that verse says? Do you really believe that? It says so. I believe it. You believe that 2 Corinthians 9:8 is true and that God means exactly what He says. I think that's kind of unanimous, although some of you are wary of a trick question and just kind of sit there like, you know, a little bit scared to raise your hand. What if I ask you, how many of you believe that God is going to make that happen for you? I think that if you answered honestly, there would be fewer hands going up that really believe God's going to do that for you in this coming year. Why is that? You love God, don't you? You go to church, you're here now. You pray, you worship. That's what you're here to do, is to worship God. But some of you still struggle financially, and I mean struggle, and you know what I'm talking about. It gets hard sometimes. Why is that? If you really want to know the answer, and the truth is you probably already do know the answer, but if you don't, if you want to know the answer, ask a faithful brother or sister who used to struggle financially, but they don't anymore. Ask one of them, and there are several here, by the way, ask one of them to tell you the secret. You know what that answer is that you're going to find if you're honest and willing to take an honest look inside? The answer you will find is that you are violating one or more, usually several, of those 2,000 financial principles regarding finances. You may have an improper work ethic. You may have not have learned what it means to be a servant yet. You may have a problem in that you're prone to spend in ways that displease God. That's really common among Christians. You may simply be lazy. Nobody wants to admit that. You may not be mature enough yet to be a truly cheerful giver. Could be one problem. There's lots of problems that it could be. It could be one or more of many violations of these and other scriptural principles. But the one that we're going to talk about today, and there's a lot of them to talk about, but the one that we're going to talk about today is giving. A week from Sunday, we will each decide what proportion, what percentage of what God gives us that we're going to give back to God to honor Him in this coming year. We're doing this a little bit differently this year by announcing this 2 weeks ahead of time. Some of you are thinking, well, what if people don't want to hear this? They don't want to listen to message about money, and they could just stay home. And that certainly could happen. If it does, that would mean that God would have to bless those who do choose to participate superabundantly in order to make up the slack for those who don't want to participate. And I don't have a problem with that because I get to be one. I get to be one of those people in the church, one of those members that God uses to make up the slack for people who haven't matured enough to be generous givers yet. So if you want to stay home in 2 weeks and not have to listen to this, you are warned. Have at it. Tithing and giving, and we'll get into the fact that those aren't the same thing here in a minute, but tithing and giving is to be done by proportion. The scripture says it's to be done according as God hath prospered you. As God hath prospered you. Whatever proportion He's prospered you, that's the measure how we do this. As commanded, all of us need to choose to decide which percentage or what percentage we're going to give to the Lord and then faithfully do it. Now I want to encourage you to participate in this. But I need to inform you that should you choose not to participate, that is a decision as well. And that's the decision that God will hold you accountable to. It's your relationship with God that we're discussing here. Now, you can sit there and judge me. It's been done before, so it won't be new, okay? You can sit there and judge me, and you can say, all preachers want is my money. I know what they really want. You can do that. Or you can listen to the Word of God with an open mind, and you can let God change your life. And having God change your financial life would be a pretty amazing thing for many of us. If you think I just want your money, you simply don't know what you're talking about. You don't. For most of the last 20 years, not all of them, but most of them, Lisa and I have been the biggest givers in the church. It's just a matter of record. You can go look it up if you want to. If you're a member, you have the right to do that. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. He has kept that promise to us. Let me read you another scripture where the Lord talks very much the same way. He speaks the same. Ephesians 3:20. Now, you know about 21. It's on the wall up there. But here's what 3:20 says. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God says that He is able to make all grace abound toward you. He says that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above the very best you could even imagine. Now, do you think God is just teasing you when He says stuff like that? He's not teasing you. He's dead serious. And He will do what He says He will do if you will meet the conditions that He's given you to meet. I can show you how to let God transform your financial life. I really can. I've shown some of you, and it's made you happier than you were before. All you need is some clear understanding that you can act on. And so I won't be able to teach you nearly everything you need to know here today, but I'm going to give you a few things. I hope you're ready to listen, and you're ready with an open mind and an open heart to allow God's Word to begin transforming your financial life. First question, we're going to try to answer three basic questions today. The first one is this: why is there so much scripture in the Bible about money? Why so much? Way more than about salvation, way more than about heaven and hell, way more than about virtually almost any other subject you can name. Well, there truly is a disproportionate amount of scripture about money compared to other things. That is true. So why is that? Well, it's really very simple. It's really very simple. Luke 16 in verse number 10 says this: "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon," what is mammon?
Money.
Money. That's what it's talking about. "Who will commit to your trust the true riches?" And I think you know the answer to that. I don't think you'll find anybody willing to do that. "And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's," by the way, who does the first tenth belong to? It's not yours. It's his. We'll get into that later. "Who shall give you that which is your own?" It's very, very simple. If you can be faithful with money, that means that you can also be faithful with other more important things as well. And by the way, in God's system of measurement, money is the least important thing you're dealing with in your life. It's right down there at the bottom. Lots of more important things than that. Conversely, if you're not faithful with money, if you're not, you'll never be faithful with much of anything else. That's just the truth. You know, the title is "The Truth About Giving." I'm just going to tell you the truth. What this means is that all these hundreds of verses of Scripture about money, they're really not about money as much as there are teachings about how to be faithful. All of these scriptures about finances are just about how to be faithful. Now, what other wisdom does all this teaching about money impart to us? Well, it tells us a bunch of things. It tells us who and who not to put in charge of things that require faithfulness. You know, the Lord's church is a pretty important entity. You're not going to find any place on earth that's more important, any organization that's more important than one of the Lord's churches. Here in the church, on the job, everywhere, we have to know who's faithful in order to know who to put in charge of what. Ladies, can I talk to the ladies?
Yes.
Okay. And Jerry volunteered me to talk to the ladies who may be in the market for a husband, or vice versa, husband who may be in market for a wife. Ladies, I want to just tell you a little gem of truth, and I hope you'll tuck it away and never forget it. If a man won't be faithful to Jesus after what the Lord has done for him, how are you going to do enough for him that he's ever going to be faithful to you? If he's not willing to be faithful to Jesus, I'm sorry, ladies, but you don't have a rat's chance of him being faithful to you. You might as well put that down in your little hope book or whatever you keep it in and never forget it. Men are pretty slick about trying to get you to do what they wanted you to do, but being faithful to Jesus, knowing him and being faithful to worship and serve the Lord, you can't fake that. There's somebody who would try that perhaps, but those who are faithful to tithe and to give, those who are faithful to worship and to serve in God's house, they usually can do almost anything, and they usually do it very successfully. So you might want to think about that when you consider who you're looking for. That's some good reasons why there are so many verses in the Bible about money and finances. The next one I want to ask is, could God possibly make giving any easier than he has? You would think that based on the relative number of people who give, the ratio of to those who don't, that giving would be one of the most difficult, hardest things there is to do. I don't think that's true. Some people have the idea that generous giving is really hard. Actually, God has made it extremely easy. Easy. You see, God commands you only to give out of that which he has first given to you. 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, every time we read this, by the way, there's nobody left out. You know, the government only taxes certain people. They leave other people out. God doesn't leave anybody out. 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week, what day is that? That's today. You're not too late. It's today. Let every one of you lay by him in store. Where's the store? You're sitting in the storehouse right now, by the way. As God hath prospered him. Now, God could have. He could, and he would have had every right to do this, by the way. He's God. He could have said, give, now go out and find it. He could have said that. But that's not what he said. God's word challenges us to give a set proportion of what he first gives to us. You say, well, God hadn't given me anything. Well, where'd you get your paycheck? God gives everything that we got through men. It's still God. All the goodness still comes from him. God's word challenges us to give a set proportion of what he first gives us, and then we get to choose what that proportion is. Now, how's God going to make it any easier than that? Wow, that's what quiet sounds like. God could be like the bank or the mortgage company or the car lot. He could say, I want X amount of dollars here in my hand every week on time, no matter what. And he would have every right to do so because he bought us with his own blood, folks. He owns us. We need to first understand that tithing and giving are not the same thing. How many of you thought that tithing was giving? You don't have to raise your hand. Just think about it. Tithing is not giving. The tithe, what is a tithe anyway? Is it somebody with a speech impediment trying to do something to their shoes? Tithe your shoes? Or what's tithe mean? What's that word mean? It means tenth, one-tenth, 10%. The tithe. Malachi says that it already belongs to God and that when we keep it and don't bring it to God, that we're, what? Robbing God. We know that. Leviticus 27:30. Tithing was done and instituted way before Moses brought the law. Abraham gave tithes. He brought them to Melchizedek, the priest of God. Jacob tithed. Long time before Moses and the law. Moses, under the law, commands us, I'm going to read that one, Leviticus 27:30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It's his. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's his. It is holy unto the Lord. It's not only his, it's special to him. And then Jesus committed tithing in the New Testament for us as well. The tithe that already belongs to God, that's what sets the precedent for what we call and what we know as proportionate giving. One-tenth, 10%, easy as pie. Couldn't get any easier than that. You hardly even have to know math to tithe. Just move a decimal point and you're there. Your offering above God's tithe should be based on a set proportion or percentage just as well. Now, why is that? I've been teaching you to do this for well over 20 years. And we have been blessed financially. We have prospered. You've never heard me get up here and saying, folks, you just got to start giving because we're bankrupt and we can't pay our bills. And you've never heard me do that. Because I've never needed to do that. Because God honors His word and keeps His promises. Well, your offering above God's tithe should be based on a percentage. And here's the reason. It's just like God set the tithe at a percentage, 10%. You could say, I'm going to give $1,000 a week to honor the Lord. And there's lots of people could do that. There are lots of people could do that. It would be presumptuous if you said that, if you made a commitment like that. It could become a possibility that you wouldn't be able to keep a promise like that. You could lose your job. It's happened. Harley, where you at? Happened to Harley. You could get laid off. That happens to lots of people. 100 different things could happen. Or God might bless you so greatly it would make the $1,000 seem way too little. That's happened to some of us too. But if you choose to give God a percentage, it could be 2% or 5% or 10%. You're the one who gets to choose what it is. We don't have a command for that. God says you choose what you will give. If you do choose a percentage, then your commitment stays doable no matter what happens. Just like tithing. Tithing is always doable. Well, what if I lose my job and I don't get a paycheck? How am I going to tithe? If you don't have a paycheck, you don't owe a tithe. What are you talking about? It's always doable all the time, no matter what. Never changes. If you get a little, what's 2% of a little? What's 5% of a little? It's the same. It's always the same, and it never changes, and it's never impossible, and it's never even difficult. It's always there to give because it comes out of what God has already given you first. I love this system. This is one of the coolest things I ever learned about from the Bible. God knows what He's doing. He knows how to design a system that works. And this is it. The only thing difficult about giving, and I'm talking about the only thing difficult about giving, is controlling our greed. When you do give generously, and you do give cheerfully, and you do give faithfully, big things do begin to happen. I know this. I know because what God's Word says, and I know it by experience, and I've seen it happen in countless lives of other Christians who've gotten a hold of this and learned this. It's easy to write a check to the church for $60. It's easy. Or even $100. It's actually pretty easy to write a check to the church for $500 or for $600. I'm going to go back to the phrase that we just read over there in Ephesians 3. Does the phrase, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, does that sound like $500 or $600 to you? Is $500 or $600 exceedingly abundantly above all that you are capable of asking or thinking? Are you with me? Then answer the question. Is it? Is that not? It doesn't sound like exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. I'll tell you that right now. I got a much bigger ask or thinker thing than that. So, no, it's not. That's not what it sounds like at all. As we grow in grace and knowledge and faithfulness, we begin to see what God really is able to do. There's only a couple of people here, three or four, that have been through what this church has gone through in the last 22, 23 years. This property that you're sitting on here, you any idea what this property is worth? Is it in the thousands? Is it in the tens of thousands? No, it is worth somewhere around somewhere between $3 and $5 million. I don't really know. And we don't really care. We acquired this property when there was 18 of us. And not a one of us had any money. Do we owe a big lot of money on this? We owe a teeny tiny fraction of that. And that's just by choice, because we've had the money a couple times, and even now, to pay it off. But there's not a point in doing that at this point. We watch God do that by Him keeping His promise. And we learned what exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think actually looked like. Because we saw it. And you're sitting in it right now. As we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, we begin to see what God really is able to do. And even greater than that, we begin to see what God is willing to do in our lives. A few in the church sitting right here today are giving more to the Lord now than we used to make not very long ago. Giving more to the Lord now than we used to make just not very long. It's just not that far back. The older you get, the distance back seems to shrink, but that's true. Something, actually someone, is making that happen. And we know who it is. Here's the thing, folks. If we can't cheerfully write a check to the Lord for $1,000, if I can't do that, how am I going to write one for $10,000? Or $20,000? The only thing that's hard about giving, the only thing that's hard about giving, is learning to control our greed. Because you have it. It's like pride. Everybody's got it. It's just some got it worse than others. The third and the final question today is, does this command from God, does this include everyone? The answer is no, it does not. Someone once asked a preacher, and this is, I've shared this with you before, what if someone wins the lottery and wants to give $1 million to your church? Are you going to take the devil's money? And the preacher replied, absolutely. I just figured the devil's had it long enough. And that's cute and that's funny and it's kind of humorous. But the truth is this, that if you're not saved, there's two principles that apply here. One, these promises from God about giving, simply giving, and all the things that He's going to do because of it, they do not apply to you. You do not own these promises. Those of us who know Jesus own these promises. Nobody else. And the second principle that applies is to offer God money without accepting His sacrifice on your behalf of His only begotten Son that He gave for you is a dishonoring insult to God. Don't be offering God money if you haven't accepted Jesus first. Proverbs 15 and verse 8 tells us everything we need to know about this. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. The beautiful part is that all these promises and much, much more can be yours. When the day comes that you take care of your biggest problem, and that problem is your sin problem, and you're going to do that by trusting Jesus to save you from your sins, all of this and much, much more will apply to you as well. You see, folks, we are the most privileged of all people. We literally own these promises given to us by a faithful God who never breaks His word. Never. And then we got heaven to look forward to after that. Now you tell me how it's going to get any better than that. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Now listen. You listening? But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Wow. What's going to matter most next week when we hand out the cards for you to fill out and take home and put on your refrigerator or wherever you're going to put it? See, some of you have never done this before. Some of you have never even heard of a church doing this before. Even though the command has been right there in God's Word all the time. It's been there the whole time. So what's important first is that you just need to start. The longest journey in the world starts with what? One step. Fill out your card. Write down your commitment to God, first to tithe and then to give back to God his first tenth, and then to choose a percentage to start with, to start your cheerful giving with, which to honor the Lord. Tithing and giving are about honor. They're not about money. That's another thing you better learn. God does not need your money. Can you imagine God needing our money? How ridiculous is that? The one who owns us and everything else needing our money. That's not what this is about. It doesn't matter what you start with. It could be 2%. That's what Lisa and I started with, I don't even know how many years ago, 25, something like that, more years ago, when I landed on this promise and I thought, or this command there, and I thought, well, that's a command. There's no way around it. God wants us to do that. So we did. And then I started teaching other people to do it. It doesn't matter what you start with. Just start somewhere. I don't care if it's 1%. Start. And then take your card and stick it on your refrigerator or put it up on your desk or wherever you can see, wherever you pay your bills, put it on your calendar, whatever. And then when next year rolls around and you review your contribution record, you'll get one from us, you know. You will see what God has done with your faithful, cheerful giving. And I won't have to talk you into raising your percentage next year because you will have seen it. I got some stories that I could tell you about other people, but I'm not going to actually get into sharing their finances with you. But I've seen people start and then be so blown away with what God immediately does, they just can't believe it. It's happened again and again and again. I could give you names and dates and times and events, not only for my own life and ours, but others as well. You're going to see what God's able to do, and it'll be according as you sow. That's how you'll reap. It'll be in proportion. But I won't have to talk you into it at all. Make your choice, and then on your very next paycheck, or however you receive what you receive, I ask people about, do you get a check? And man, I don't think anybody's gotten a check for anything for years. It's all direct something or other. And then you just take what you said you would do and you set it aside first before anybody else gets their hands on it. And then you bring it and put it in the storehouse when you come to worship. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Is giving and tithing about honor or is it about money? Which? It's about honor. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits. What's more important? How big the check is, how much you give, or whether you put God first and make sure he gets his part first? Which part's about honor? God getting his first is what makes it honor. Can you get a hold of that concept? That's what makes it honor. And then secondly, you need to be faithful. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I can ask you ladies what faithful means, and I'm sure you'd be able to tell us all the time, every time, no matter what. Someone said, well, I tried it for a while, but nothing happened. That's actually pretty funny if you think about it. Don't forget who you're dealing with here. You're dealing with the one who exists in the past and the present and the future all at once, the one who knows what you will do before you do it. You simply cannot try to be faithful in giving. You're either going to do it or you're not going to do it, but God knows whether you're going to stay with it or not. He knows whether you're going to be faithful or not. He knew it before you ever got saved. He knew it before the foundation of the world. Who are you dealing with? You can't try it and see if it works. You can either commit to it and do it, or don't waste your time. If you're not still now, right now, doing what you once told God you would do, I hate to break it to you, but you're not faithful, and you have failed to meet the conditions of God's promise. This is between you and God, but don't ever be afraid to trust God. God will hold up His part of the promise, just like He kept His promise to save you when you placed your trust in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus as a full payment of your sin. The same God that kept His word to take care of that is the same God that will keep every promise as He's given us.